Good morning.
Good morning.
Accidents do happen. I know some of you are excited to return back to school. Are you excited to return back to school? Yeah. Even the yes doesn't sound like a yes. Yeah, and I know some of you are excited to go back to school. And, new place, new environment. New friends, new opportunity for you to get to know people. And I know, young kids sometimes they don't like to go back to school because, school can be boring to some of them. But thank God, I think God always places us in places so that we can be a great testimony for Him. I thought today we will just, for the past few weeks, we have been looking from Paul's writing. I think all of you are very familiar. Paul has been writing to the church in Philippi. He's talking about the joy that, wherever you are, you can still have the joy. Whatever situations that you are in, Paul is reminding us again and again from this particular epistle, rejoice in the Lord always. And he says, rejoice. And again I say, rejoice, because Christ is the one who gives us joy. And I believe, when you go back to university or back to school, or back to your workplace, or wherever, God is bringing you. And I believe it is not by accident. Nothing happens by accident, because when we are trying to follow God's will, God always has a purpose behind it. And let me challenge you, wherever you are, God wants you to be His witness or His testimony, His ambassador or His image wherever you are. So whether you're going back to school, in your workplace, or maybe even in your community, I think God wants you to be His witness. Even in church, I think God wants you to be a witness. And so today, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we have a faith journey to share? Do we have a story to say? When you meet friends who are new at place, do you have something to share to them? Yes, you will tell them, I'm coming from Toronto. But do you have more than that? Are you able to share your faith journey? Do you have one faith journey that you can share? I think that is very important for us. And so at the same time, let me challenge you, don't lose your faith journey, or don't lose your testimony. Because sometimes when we go to a place, a new environment, things can be very challenging, and we're also vulnerable. And so we need to be very careful, right? And stick on. Cling on to your faith journey, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and continue to be a great witness to Him. Let's start with prayer and ask God to help us as we spend some time looking at His Word. Father, we thank You for this day, and we thank You for each and every moment that You've given to us. We thank You, Lord, because You have trusted us. And today, God, we can live a life for Jesus Christ. And we can live a life of testimony for You. And Lord, we pray that wherever we are, we want to be Your testimony, O God. We want to be that spark that brings joy in the lives of others. And so, Lord, help us not to lose our faith, not to lose our testimony, not to lose our witness, not to lose the call that is given to us. We just love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you look at, the slide that is coming, it's sharing your faith journey. Let me challenge you again, when you go to school or wherever you are, there will be opportunities for you to share. There will be people that will come along your path and maybe talk to you, or maybe they need some kind of encouragement, they need some kind of comfort. And so I want you to share your testimony to them, right? Talk to them, tell them how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, or how God is able to transform our lives. And, it's important for us to, at the same time, even today, before we return back to our places, to ask ourselves and to think about our testimony, our faith journey, to see whether, do we have a faith journey? Can we boldly say that I am a Christian, that I have a testimony, I have something to share? The joy of the Lord is my strength. So do we have a kind of testimony, that Paul is talking about? The passage that is just read to us today, it's a passage, when Paul writes from 1st from Philippians chapter 4 to 14 onwards, he's talking about his life, his faith journey. And so when I look at Paul's journey or faith's journey, I realize this is a life of a true Christian. Now, many a times when people ask you about how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you tell them, and you say, you know, there was a time in my life, and this is what happened, you know, God changed me, and this is me. You know, but when I look at Paul's testimony or a faith journey, it's much more comprehensive. He talks about a life before knowing Christ. At the same time, he's talking about a life when he knew the Lord Jesus Christ at the point of his conversion. At the same time, his faith journey does not stop there. You know, many times what happens, if there was a time before Christ, we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And sometimes we have great stories to say, you know, I was like this. I was the most bad person in this planet Earth, and God saved me. There was a time I came to know the Lord. But what happens next? That is also an important thing. And so this particular passage, it's a passage that talks to us life before Christ. Paul talks about it. At the same time, he says, life at the point of my conversion, when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, what took place? What were the circumstances or the events of my life that shook me, that changed me? And then Paul speaks about, you know, life after that. In other words, you know, there is always a life after getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is very important. That is the key. That's our living testimony. It's not about our past. You know, I got to know the Lord Jesus Christ and what happened. But there is a future I think we need to be sharing. And Paul talks about his life experience, his life journey. So let's turn to Philippians chapter 3:4 onwards. And let's look at Paul's writing. And when you look at Paul, you know, Paul starts by saying in verse 4, he says, although I myself have reasons for such a confidence, he's talking about, you know, about his life. And he's saying, you know, I'm much more confident about my life because I know myself very well. And this is me. And so he's challenging the people, you know, if you want to compare your life with my life is much more better, right? My deeds are much more better. The things that I have done is much more greater than you are doing or you have done in your life. And then he continues by saying, if anyone else who thinks reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. In other words, Paul is saying, you know, before I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you, you know, I had a good thing. In other words, had right upbringing in my life, right exposure, right environment, everything was right. And so he is talking about a life before his conversion. He says, in verse 5, he says, I'm circumcised on the eighth day. You know, in other words, Paul is saying, you know, look at my life. I'm circumcised on the eighth day. In other words, Paul is saying in our language, you know, I'm born in church. I'm born in church. In other words, I grew up in church. My life is around church. That doesn't make me Christian. That's what Paul is trying to say. You know, if you want to compare with me, Paul says, I'm circumcised on the eighth day. I'm born in the church. I grew up in the church. But let me tell you, that is not changing my life. And not only that, he says, I have a right bringing. And at the same time, if you continue, he says, and I'm from the people of Israel. In other words, he says, you know something? I'm not only a church boy, but I'm from the people of Israel. You know, Israel was always known as God's chosen people. And he says, you know, I have the right upbringing. I have the right nationality. You know, I come from Israel, God's chosen people. But that doesn't make me a Christian. That doesn't change my life. And then he goes on. And he goes on by saying in verse 5 also, he says, from the tribe of Benjamin. You know, there are 12 tribes, and there were two tribes in the south. And Benjamin was a great tribe. And so in the tribe of Benjamin was the temple. In other words, he says, not only the right nationality, but I come from Benjamin's tribe where the temple was. You know, it was a religious tribe. It was an elite tribe. It was a tribe that people always looked up. Can you imagine? Paul says, you know, look at my life. My life is perfect. You know, that was my life before Christ. And that was what he thought. And then he goes on by saying, not only from the tribe of Benjamin, you know, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. In other words, I've been taught the Torah from day one. I've been exposed to the scriptures. I've recited memory verse in my Sunday school, right? I have gone to VBS. And so Paul is saying, that doesn't make me a Christian because I'm reciting the verses or gone to leadership training. That doesn't make me, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. Can you imagine Paul's life? And if you continue, he also says, you know, I'm a Pharisee. Many times when you look at the word Pharisee today, we always, you know, say, you know, they are the bad people. But let me tell you, in those days, there were around 3,000 Pharisees, and they were the most learned scholars. They know the scriptures pretty well. They were maybe the pastors of those days, but they were a bit more arrogant, unlike pastors today, right? Much more humble. Well, you're all smiling. Is it true? Not true. You know, what was happening? You know, Paul says, you know, I'm a Pharisee. In other words, I know the law. I know the Torah pretty well. I can expound. I can teach. But that doesn't make me a Christian. I know the scriptures by heart. But that doesn't make me a Christian. My nation will not make me a Christian. My Hebrew race will not make me a Christian. Right? Because I'm circumcised, because I'm baptized in the church, because I'm a member of a church, that is not going to make me a Christian. If I go on further, you know, Paul also says in verse 6, he says, as for zeal, you know, I was persecuting the church. In other words, he said, you know, I was very zealous. In other words, there was a lot of passion in me for my religious faith. Maybe today we will say, you know, Paul was a terrorist. Paul says, you know, I was not a quiet kind of a guy. I had zeal for God. I went around condemning those who came from the Lord Jesus Christ, who were believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine Paul was against the Christians, you know, because of his belief in the Torah, because of his faith, and he had that kind of a zeal. Wherever he saw the Christians, he wanted to persecute them, he wanted to belittle them, he wanted to torture them because of his love for his Judaism or his faith. And then if you go on, Paul says, you know, as for righteousness based on the law, I'm faultless. In other words, I'm blameless. Morally, I'm a good person. You can't find any fault in me. I've obeyed the Ten Commandments. You just name the Ten Commandments and you see that I am a living testimony. Can you imagine? That was what Paul is trying to say. But then he says in verse 7, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. In other words, this is what Paul is trying to say. Paul says, religious environments or doing good does not guarantee salvation. Because I'm a Pharisee, it doesn't mean I'm a Christian. Because I'm born in a church will not make me a Christian. Because I attended all leadership programs in the church will not make me a Christian. Because I'm a pastor in a church or a Pharisee or a religious scholar, it is not going to make me a Christian. Because I'm born in a Christian family or a religious family, it is not going to make me a Christian. It is only the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says. And so, my friends, we need to ask ourselves, you know, am I a Christian today? Because I attend church, it's not going to make you a Christian. Because I'm involved in small group, it is not going to be a Christian, right? And so, Paul says there is no salvation without Christ. It is only Christ who's able to save me. And that's why Paul is challenging the people and saying, no, let's compare. I'm much more better in everything, but I'm still no good. I have everything more than you, but I'm still no good. I'm the best of the best,
But I'm still no good because I don't have the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. You know, my friends, you know, when you share your testimony, people are not, you know, not they don't really admire the good deeds that we do. They want to know whether Christ can make a difference in your life. Some time ago, I was reading a book, and it was very interesting. It's not, show me the Christ that is in you. People want to see the Christ in us. So Paul is saying, you know, this is my life. You know, I've come across quite a number of articles which says there are people who are in the church who are still lost. They sing great songs to the Lord, but still lost. Can you imagine? Even as back home in Singapore, I've seen members of the church who are still lost. They have not had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, you know, all these things will not make me a Christian. So there is always a life before Christian or before conversion. And secondly, if you look at it, Paul moves on. He says, you know, at the time of conversion, you know, there's a life at conversion. Does it mean I have to stop my sermon? I don't think so. I'll go against technology. Oh, good. Yes. Okay, if you look at verses 7 to 9, you know, Paul, you know, if I just sum up verses 7 to 9, you know, Paul looks at his life, you know, looks at his at the time that he became a Christian, he says, you know, all these were garbage in the sight of God. And so he looks at his life and says, you know, this is who I am or I was when I became a Christian. And so he talks about his conversion experience. If you look at Acts chapter 9, you will read Paul's conversion experience. And I'm putting the verses in front of you. And very interestingly, you know, Paul, you know, sometimes in our life too, there is a certain circumstances. We'll say, you know, there was a point in my life I felt I was lonely. Then I realized God's love for me. There was a point in my life I was searching for meaning to my life. What is God's purpose? And then I realize it's only Christ who came to give that purpose. And so Paul is sharing in Acts chapter 9, and he talks about his spiritual journey. Let me tell you, my friend, you and I should have this kind of encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. As I told you, it doesn't mean that because I come to church will make me a Christian. We need to have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, in verse 1, he says, meanwhile, Saul, who was later on became Paul, before becoming a follower of the way, he was known as Saul, was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus. I think all of us know that Paul was going to the Damascus road because he wanted to persecute the Christians. As I told you, he was zealous for his faith, right? No Christ. No, and that's what was Paul. And so he was just going after the Christians. And then in verse 3, it says, as Paul neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? In other words, I think Paul is talking about an encounter. You know, suddenly, what has happened? There's a point in my life that I met the Lord Jesus Christ. Suddenly, you know, my life was bad, you know, but what was happening? I had a wrong purpose in my life. My objectives were wrong. My aim was wrong. But suddenly, there was a time in my life that Christ encountered me and his light was upon me. Do you have that kind of sudden experience in your life, my friend? Can you remember the time or the day when the Lord met you and said, yes, I want you? Did you have that kind of experience? You know, Paul says, you know, when I look at Paul's experience, you know, Paul says, he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. And then
not only he encountered, you know, it says he experienced the presence of God. He saw the light that flashed from heaven. He saw something totally new. Something new was taking place in his life, and then there was submission. He fell down to the ground. You know, when I look at the word very carefully, you know, yes, Paul, some say Paul was riding on the horse, and so he fell down. But when I look at it in a very spiritual angle, I realize, you know, there is a moment when you realize and you see the Lord Jesus Christ, when you have a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, you realize that you are nothing. You are nothing, my friend. That I am nothing. I need this Savior. He talks about submission. Do we have that kind of experience in our life? We felt, Lord, I'm not worthy to experience your love. I'm not worthy. Lord, I'm not worthy. As Peter said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you wash my feet. As Isaiah said, you know, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm not worthy, Lord, to look up to you. I'm a man of unworthy life. That is a submission. I think at a point of conversion, I think that's happening. Now, I know some of you, do have that kind of experience. You felt that you're a sinner. You realized that you needed a Savior. You realized that without Christ, that you cannot move on. Life doesn't have any meaning. Do you have that kind of experience, my friend? Was there a point in your life you met the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul met Christ. And not only that, my friend, you know, interestingly, in the verse, the third one, it says, you know, in verse 5, and says, Paul uses the word Lord. Can you imagine? He was going against people who were worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ, were following the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he says, who are you, Lord? And Jesus says, I'm Jesus. The word here is a very powerful word. And it's the same word that is used by Ananias. It was used by some other people, even in the scriptures. And Barnabas also uses the word. It means all. It means the glorious one. You know, can you imagine? He was against the glorious one, but now he realizes the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. He realizes that Jesus is the true one, that he is the Savior. Let me tell you, my friend, until and unless we have that kind of experience in our life, we need to ask ourselves, you know, am I a true Christian? Have you realized that Jesus is not only your Savior who came to save your sin, but he should be your Lord who leads you, who is the shepherd of your life? Did you have that kind of experience? We need to have that experience, my friend, if you want to be a Christian. You need to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to realize that without him, there is no purpose in your life. That without him, there is no forgiveness of sins. That without him, I can't live a victorious life. It is only Christ who is able to help me. And Paul acknowledges the Lordship. Is Christ the Lord of your life today? Or he is just your Savior? He saves us, wonderful, but is he your Lord? Lord means, Lord, you lead me. You're my hero. You're my way. You're the glorious one. Is Jesus just your Savior who saves you, but is he your Lord? And let me finish with the last one. You know, as I told you, you know, when you share your testimony, when you live a life of testimony, people want to know, when was the time? How did you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Lastly, Paul talks about after conversion. You know, the sad part, many Christians will always stop with this conversion experience. Then after that, what happens? Right? Paul talks about his life. It's a very powerful testimony. And when you look at it, you know, I look at these verses, verses 12 onwards, if you look at verses, no, sorry, if you look at verse 9 onwards or 9, 10 to 14 onwards, Paul talks about, you know, four things that actually happens in verse, you know, not only I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and I called him Lord, what happened next? That is very important. There is a new priority in Paul's life. In verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ. Not only I've met him at the road of Damascus, but I want to know him more. So there is a new priority. I don't want to go after the Christians or after the people who are worshipping the way, but I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to know him more. In other words, the Greek word, it means I want to grow deeper in knowing him. That was the life of Paul till he died. You know, Paul always wanted to know the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, if you are a Christian today, what is your priority? If you don't have a priority of growing deeper in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, let me challenge you and ask you to check on your religious experience or spiritual experience. And Paul says, because Jesus became my Lord, there is always a desire for me to know him much more or know him further in my life. It's not just knowing about the scriptures, my friend. How much do we know about the Lord Jesus Christ? He wanted to know Christ more. He wanted to know Christ. And then he says, not only knowing Christ, but I want to know the power of his resurrection. In other words, you know, I want to know the power in, I want to experience the power of God. You know, I want to live a powerful life, the power to love people, the power to forgive people, you know, the power to reach out to people. You know, I want to know the power because of what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. At the same time, he rose from the dead. I want to live a resurrected life for the Lord Jesus Christ, not the old life, but a new resurrected life. And that's why Paul says in Philippians 4:13, right? He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because I have the resurrected power of Christ in me. I want to know Christ. I want to live a life for Christ, to love, to forgive, to reach out, to serve. And that was the power of the resurrection. And then, some of you might not like the word, right? He says, there is new problems too, right? And here in this particular verse, he says, I want to participate in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. Can you imagine? You know, I want to participate in the sufferings of Christ, and I want to become like him even in his death. In other words, Paul is saying, you know, whatever it is, right, people will belittle me, make fun of me because I'm a Christian. Let me tell you, when you go to university, many of people will just, when you say you're a Christian, they will look at you in a different way or smile at you differently. What religion in a scientific world today? They might belittle you. They might think that you are a, you know, the religious guy, the good Joe that is walking around. If they see you reading the Bible, they might say, you know, what's happening, right? We have a saint sitting with us, my friend. There will be that kind of problem. Problems that might challenge your faith. Problems that will challenge you living for the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you look at Paul's writing, you know, Paul, after knowing Christ, he had much more suffering than you and I can ever imagine. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about it. You know, he was beaten. Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 24 to 28, he says how he was beaten. He was, you know, he was thrown out. He was kicked around. You know, sometimes when I read that particular passage, I feel so bad. Can you imagine? Before knowing Christ, there was no pain. There was no suffering for Paul. He was bringing, you know, suffering to others. And because he knew Christ, in 2 Corinthians, he talks about it very clearly from 24 onwards, that he was bitten, he was thrown to the prison, he was hungry. Why? Because I love Christ. And I want to live a life of testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, my friend, because you're a Christian, you will have problems. People will look at you differently. They might make fun of your religion. But can you say, you know, like Paul, I have that zeal in me to live out my Christian life. And lastly, there's a new pursuit that is happening. In verse 12, Paul says, I press on, right? right? I press on. He's using an athlete word here, like the Olympics word. You know, they press on. In other words, you know, I am pressing on towards the goal and no one will stop me. Right? Nothing. And that's why if you read other passages, that he's looking at the cross, looking at Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, and says, you know, I move on, I press on. In other words, the word here, it means that, you know, with all my strength, with all my energy, with all I have, you know, I'm not giving up on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just running my journey that Christ has given to me. I'm not giving up my Christian life, my Christian testimony, because someone told me. Because I want to be in the group of friends, you know, so that, to be in their good books. No, I'm not. I want to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining forward. When I look at the word forgetting what is behind, I think Paul is also trying to tell us, you know, many a times, let me tell you, in your Christian journey, Satan will always want to bring the gone stories, the stories, the sins of the past, and say, you cannot run the race. You are a loser. You cannot live your Christian life, because there were many times, you know, there was a false start in you. You gave up along the way. Satan will always, and that's what Paul says, this is one thing I'm going to do. I will forget what is behind. Because he knew very well that's the attack of this of the satanic forces, my friend, that will stop us from seeking or living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is always there when he sees you running. So he says, forgetting the past sins, just living into the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, do you have a story to say wherever you are today, my friend? Right? People do not want to know your good deeds because they have heard a lot. But they want to see Christ lived out in you, my friend. They want to see Christ in us. It's not about my salvation experience. It's wonderful. Yes, we need to have. It is not also about the circumstances that lead. But they want to see Christ in our workplace. They want to see Christ in you, in the campuses that you will be walking along or walking there. They want to see Christ in you. So let me challenge you. Live out your Christian faith boldly, right? And tell others that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't give up. Don't give up. And don't give up. It's not a story, but let me share with you. I think Winston Churchill, you know, he was invited when he was pretty old. He was invited to a graduation service. And so people were so excited to hear Winston Churchill, you know, to come and speak. He was very feeble, right? He was weak, but he was a great man. People respected him. And so when he was invited, people were just looking at him. It took a while for Winston Churchill to come to the podium. And he looked at the crowd and he said this word, never give up, never give up. And he went back to his seat. Let me challenge you, never give up your faith. Never give up, because the Lord have never give up on us, my friend. He loves us. Let's pray. If you ever realized it, when you became a Christian, you are a full-time missionary. When you became a Christian, the Lord has a mission for you. If you are going to your campuses, you are a missionary in the campus. In your workplace, you are a missionary. Wherever you are, God has placed us as his witness, as his testimony. Many a times I feel the Lord is counting on us. He's telling us, you know, I'm counting on you, my child. I'm just counting on you. I placed you with a purpose, probably in your workplace, in wherever you are. I'm just counting on you. I'm not giving up on you. That's what the Lord says. Friends, if you do not have a faith journey, I would encourage you and I will challenge you. It's only Christ who can bring the real joy. It's only Christ who can forgive us from all our sins. It's not because we are in church or because of who we are. It's only because of Christ. It's only Jesus. He loves us so much. Was there a time in your life you said, Lord, I surrender myself to you? If not, come and talk to us. You know, we'd just love to share with you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, you never gave up on us, oh God. Because of love. Help us, Lord, to experience your love each and every moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.